Warning, this podcast may contain vulgar language, graphic violence, drug use, and sexual themes. Parental guidance is recommended.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast. Hey everybody, just want to do a few shout outs here before we get started. First to Natasha, my cool friend from Down Under, for doing my parental warning there at the beginning. You'll be hearing her at the beginning of every episode. And second to Mr. Tim Mullins at Triple H Media. He's helped me out tremendously. He designed my logos and helped me out with the theme intro music. So big shout out to him. Check him out at www.triplehmedia.net. He has a couple of really cool audio dramas he does as a podcast, so check him out. And last but not least, Jerry and Tracy Pauly from Hillbilly Horror Stories Podcast. They do a really cool paranormal show on there. So check them out at hillbillyhorrorstories.com and give them a listen and tell them the Evil Never Dies podcast sent you. All right, that's about it. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Brett.
And I'm Carl Todd.
And we're the two hosts of the Evil Never Dies podcast. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good.
So what's up, Carl?
Nah, just getting back from that John Corabi show.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go, man?
Great show. Awesome. Very kind of an intimate show. He's doing the acoustic guitar, you know, and told a lot of stories. That was really cool. Guy's a storyteller, really is. So fun show. Got to hang out with him after the show. Had him sign my dirt book.
Oh, that's cool.
As soon as I opened it up, he looked and he said, "I'm signing under Nikki. That'll piss him off." And I'm like, "Well, I don't think Nikki's ever going to see this book." He said, "Oh, yeah, you're right." He said, "Where do you want me to sign?" I said, "Right there in the blank spot." And he's like, "Okay, cool." So
that's awesome, man. Did you get anything else signed or just the book?
Got a picture signed, but he wasn't doing anything. The thing about Corabi, he's been around the block enough to where he had kind of had that rock star vibe going. So,
yeah,
like if he like talked to you, if he said something to you, he, you know, it was okay. One thing, but if you said something to him, he kind of ignored you because people are asking if he'd personalize stuff and he's like, "Nah, let's just sign it." So I got a picture signed, but he didn't personalize it or nothing, which according to Gene Simmons makes it more valuable if you're ever going to sell anything. Yeah. You know, you put two bread
Gene
on it.
Gene would know. He's the fucking money man.
Gene's the man. So when you put to Carl or to Brett, that sort of devalues everything right there, according to Gene. Huh. But yeah, got the book signed. He had a CD he did in Nashville where he did the Motley Crue 94 album. His son played drums on it, and his son was there actually running the merch booth, and he was a cool kid.
Huh.
But great show, you know, and chalked down another person I got to hang with, so it was fun. I did actually tell him, I said, "I actually named my haunted house after you, Count Corabi's Haunted Manor." He just totally ignored me. I don't know if he heard me or not, because it was kind of loud in there at the time, you know. And
yeah, he probably had a bunch of people around him too, huh?
Not really.
No swarm?
No, not really.
Usually they get swarmed when they like that.
He seemed like he was really kind of just tired out and freaking just burned out because it was that outside venue. So it was hot
as shit.
Yeah. And he said when he was done, he was going to go kind of hang out in the bar, you know, but he never got to the bar. They like kind of locked everybody out of the inside and everybody was just standing out in that little hot amphitheater. So he seemed like he was a little tired out.
Huh.
But yeah, he put on a great show. He's playing another show in Dallas tonight, but there'll be four other bands playing, and it won't be as fun.
So it was just him then before?
Just him and acoustic guitar.
Huh.
Playing Motley Crue songs, some Kiss songs, Dead Daisies, stuff from his band Union he had with Bruce Kulick, and telling stories, man. Huh. He told a 15-minute story about Aerosmith.
Really?
And Steven Tyler. So fun night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Well, how do we meet? We met at Moxley Manor Haunted House.
Moxley Manor Haunted House, Bedford,
Shout
Texas.
Out to Richard and Rachel.
Now take a shot to them there.
Cheerio.
Yeah, that'd have been about?
I'm drinking eight or wine, not? By the way.
I'm drinking vodka
this
straight.
Good shit right here.
Yeah, that'd be about 8 to 9 years ago now?
Yeah, almost 10, man.
Yeah. It'd be 9 going on 10. You're probably right.
Remember the first night you showed up there, you had an Iron Maiden shirt on. It says, oh, he can't be all that fucking bad wearing an Iron Maiden shirt.
I remember the first night I actually worked it was I closed my haunted house down and after Halloween ended and moved out to Moxley the Christmas, which was your first season. I didn't work the haunt season with you, but I was there Christmas night, and that's what got me kicking. Had the old school Blue Demon going on, and
Blue Demon.
I don't really remember anybody from that first night. Honestly, I just kind of showed up, and I think they had me in the living room, and that was that.
Yeah, I was in my Bubba room at the time, or I don't think I even had the Bubba room then, did I?
No, you didn't, because I think we were open in February or January for HauntCon, and I was in the back where the Bubba room would eventually be, and I remember that Trevor came up, and he told me, say, man, I take my dagger here, whatever that sickle he had, and slice it across the cement, and you're kind of in the way, and I'm like, whoa. So I always joke with Trevor. The first time I met him, he kind of grabbed at me. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay, man. We're just funny. Now, the first time I met you, I remember as far as really meeting you, me and Greg came up with a bunch of props for my old haunt. And we pulled up and you're like, hey, cool, man. You brought us some scrap wood. And Greg's like, who the hell is that guy? I said, I don't know. I think he's like Richard's number two guy or something. And Greg's like, well, that asshole's running shit. I don't think I want to work here. There's my first memory.
Shit, man.
Yeah, we didn't know that at the time. But yeah, you said you'd take that scrap wood.
I was referring to that. What was it?
That guillotine.
Yeah, the guillotine.
Guillotine. I don't know how to say that word. The thing you cut people's head off with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing actually stayed around for a while, and Richard was gone on vacation, and I guess the city of Bedford like came and threw it in the trash or something, and he was pissed. Because we had that thing out front for
It was weathered for sure.
It was weathered, but it actually made it look better. But we had it out front doing photo ops with it there before he had the other thing, like he's got the mannequin out there now in the backdrop that says Moxley and the Big Top Terror. So it was one of the first photo ops we had.
Yep.
So yeah, that's where we first met, was at Moxley Manor. And of course we went to a couple of concerts over the years.
Yeah. Seen a couple good shows, Maiden and Queensryche. Then
we went to Armored Saint. Yeah.
Was that the same night? Shit, I can't even remember.
I don't think so.
Both of them were at Trees. I remember that.
Yeah, they were at Trees.
You didn't like Trees too much.
I'm not a fan of Trees. It's just all standing room only unless you get there like 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind the standing thing, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Never been a big fan of Trees.
I see mushroom head down there like 10, 12 times, I think.
We have way better venues in the Dallas Fort Worth.
Oh, I know. Trees. It's just that place is, I like it because it's in more intimate and loud. Really.
See, I don't think of it as that. I think of it as just being kind of big and bulky for a club. Not my favorite place.
The big tree in the middle too. That's takes.
Yeah. Which is stupid. It takes the like blocks the stage.
Yeah, I know.
But the place is legendary. It's a legend around here. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't go down there now if you fucking paid me.
No, I don't go to Deep Ellum anymore. My favorite venue is still the Ridgely Theater, but they don't do a lot of shows there anymore. But we've got the Halton Theater, which is close to us, that puts on a lot of good shows. Of course, the last year and a half, nothing's been going on since COVID.
Yeah.
But everybody's back on the road now except for Motley Crue. Yeah. And there's a John Corabi story. He first got on the stage. He said, let me answer a few questions before they get started. He said, yes, I enjoyed my time in Motley Crue from what I can remember. And yes, I saw the video of Vince. And he said, and the answer is no. If Nikki and Tommy call, I will not rejoin the band.
I'm on this KNAC, used to be the metal station out in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
infamous station.
I'm on the group, and people were on there saying, oh, he needs to get back. I wonder if they'll call him. And I'm like, I think it's a hard no.
Yeah. Karabi is way past the Motley Crue stage. He's done a lot of crap in his career. The Dead Daisies, I think, being the highlight. And he made a lot, toured the world, made a lot of money with those guys. He said he wrote a book that's coming out next year. And
oh, really?
Making a CD. So, yeah, I don't think he has any interest in no Motley Crue. Nor do I think they would. They want to live the whole retro thing. You know, there's Nikki. Instead of moving ahead, Nikki wants to live in the 80s with the crew now. I guess he'll use that 6 a.m. as his modern band. I don't know.
Like Tommy's got, what the hell's that?
Some rap band, didn't
he? Yeah. I don't even know the name. Can't even remember the Methods of Mayhem.
Yeah. You know, it's sad. Motley Crue was my favorite band from childhood. But after they did this fake retirement thing, that really just kind of, that just wasn't cool.
Fake retirement.
It was a fake retirement. I mean, they signed this thing in blood that they weren't ever going to tour again. And they really don't need to be touring again. Vince cannot sing. Vince cannot barely walk.
He proved that a few weeks ago.
Then there's Mick. Mick is not in very good health.
Yeah.
And Tommy doesn't want to play rock anymore. And Nikki was doing good with his radio show in 6 a.m. and he quit both of them. And he even got on.
I used to listen to that in the morning, man.
Yeah.
When he was on there when he took over for Stern.
Yeah. He even, what was he? He got rid of everything he was doing and like moved somewhere and was like, said, I'm retired from the music business. So he was doing his photograph crap or whatever. But I was like, okay, whatever.
Art or
whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I just think that, you know, I guess it's a hypocrite for me because I'm a big Kiss fan and I know they had their retirement tour, but in a way, it was a retirement tour, you know, to Peter and Ace, because they weren't in the band anymore. But I think Nikki just lied to the fans. It was just a paycheck. And I don't know why. They've got shit tons of money, but not real happy with Motley these days. And the tour got canceled for the summer, so screw them.
Yep.
Kiss is back on.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. And Ace Frehley and
I'd actually spend $150 for a ticket for that.
Yeah, because, you know, Paul said it best. This really is a retirement tour because, you know, there's Gene turned 72, 70. I mean, they can't keep doing it, you know, in those costumes and crap.
They're getting freaking old.
Yeah, they're to the point where, yeah, this is definitely going to be the farewell. You know, they got a biography coming out on them and everything here in the coming weeks. So I'm just glad this COVID shit's died down because now we got concerts back. We got movies coming out.
Yeah, I can't wait. I was hoping you'd want to go to that show next weekend.
I'll be working.
Yeah, I know. That sucks. Yeah. But Yeah. So
my job is so far behind from COVID, it's going to take us like 3 years to catch up, it sounds like. So
right, I won't be right when you're going to retire.
Probably so. Probably so.
You got 2 more years?
Yeah, 2 more years. I'll hit 30 years.
Damn.
So
see, we're old. Yeah. We're old fuckers.
Well, you know, had that job forever, and you know, I know it's cost me a lot of fun over the years.
Didn't you start out with the county at the parking deck or some
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, I started in a parking garage, working parking garage. So actually, that was technically I was a part-time employee back then, and that would be going back 30 years, but it didn't count toward retirement or nothing.
Oh, okay.
But
so actually, been there longer than.
Been there 30. Longer, yeah. If you count the part-time. But yeah, I've missed a lot of stuff over the years, a lot of fun, but I've certainly made my share of things. You know, I've been to lots of shows, met a lot of people, and had a lot of fun over, you know, and the job's provided me the means to do a lot of this, so I can't complain.
Well, you've been a honor at a bunch of different places too, ain't you?
Well, that's another thing. Not only do I work full time, I've been working haunted houses basically. When did I start out? I think it was like 1985.
Really?
Here's the story real quick. So American Legion, my dad was running the American Legion in Haltom City, and they had the Halloween party. So the ladies auxiliary, they called it, was doing what they called a haunted house. Now, by the time I went to there, I was already a veteran of the haunted houses. I used to go to the March of Dimes as a little kid.
Love them.
Oh yeah, I was like Scrappy Doo from Scooby Doo. I was wanting to fight the monsters, and they all, you know, oh, look at that little cute kid. You know, he wants to fight everybody. Anyway, go to the American Legion. It's like one little room, and it's one of them stupid things where they said, "Look, there's eyeballs, and there, you know, they have spaghetti. There's guts." And when I walked out, they said, "Did you think it was scary?" And I'm like, "No, ma'am." "You didn't?" I said, "No, ma'am, not scary at all." She said, "Well, do you think you could do better?" I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." So back then, before I was playing a vampire, I actually
How old were you then?
About
12, 13?
About 11 or 12. Little kid still, but, you know, getting to be a teenager. But I was in my werewolf getup. So the very end of the night, I stood in the corner. And when people came by, I jumped out at them, and they were scaring the crap out of people. So night ended. The ladies said, next year, we want you to work this thing full time. So unfortunately, I don't think you've even heard this story. My first gig as a professional haunter, I played a head in a table. Very sad to say.
Yeah, I had some friends or parents used to put on a haunted house. They'd actually do their whole house, and they had the dining room table where they did that, had somebody underneath there with their head sticking out underneath the platter.
Yeah, it was kind of a depressing gig playing ahead, but the good thing is the next year,
didn't you have to be on your freaking knees all the time?
I don't remember, it's been so long ago. I think they had me a chair under there, actually. I was so short when I was a little kid, but fortunately the next year they made me like a part manager of it. And that's when I finally introduced my vampire character that I still play to this day.
Well, that's cool.
So I went from playing a head to just being a vampire to managing the whole thing. Ran that thing until like 1991 or something like that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A year past high school, I was manager of it. And they decided to move it to a shopping center and open it to the public more. And they had these two people running it, and they didn't know what they were doing. And right. By then, me and Video Bob were working haunts together. And so I quit the American
Shout
Legion.
Shout out to Bob.
Oh, yeah. So Bob and me showed up at the March of Dimes and finished the season out because they wouldn't listen to us. They went out of business the next year, and me and Bob kept going. We worked March of Dimes together. Then we worked the Cutting Edge Haunted House for a long time. He was the chainsaw guy there. And made it on the news. Channel 5 News used to rate the haunted houses, and Cutting Edge got rated a 0 for gore, except for one scene, and that was Bob's scene where he had his blood pumping and everything in his chainsaw, and it made Todd a little little mad that Bob got all the credit there. But all was good. Todd James was a good guy. I enjoyed working with him. He was cool to me, but his style of hunting just wasn't what I like. I mean, you know, Cutting Edge is all about the dark and the all that loud disco, whatever it is, music.
I only been through it once, and I was fucking so drunk that I can't even really remember.
Yeah, it's a long hunt, and
They got the world record like 3 years or some shit for the longest.
I give Todd all the credit in the world. That guy has made a great living out of that place, and
he's still
can't say anything bad about him, not at all. But we were always at war with Hangman's in those days. They were our enemy because we were right down the road from Hangman's. So there's always calling fire marshals on each other and shit like that. It was the fun days. But Hangman's actually put the March of Dimes haunted house out of business, which was sort of sad.
Huh.
They like shut down shop and moved to Six Flags, I believe.
Oh.
And that was the end of an era. And then Hangman's kind of became the big haunt of the area for years, and then finally the Cutting Edge took over, and you know, Hangman's is just a joke now. Unfortunately, it's not the same owners, it's not the same location, and not very good.
I heard they had some issues there with some stuff.
Yeah, they have. So now actually I think Moxley Manor is the top haunted house in the area. You know, three haunted houses, and
Richard puts on a good show.
No doubt about it. I don't know anybody that can top them. And, you know, we even ran through COVID last year and put on a great show.
Yeah. And best year ever, I heard.
Best year. Yeah. You know, a lot of the other haunts shut down, but Moxley was still going. So I think pretty much earned the top spot at this stage of in the Metroplex. Ain't nobody can touch it.
Nope.
No. Well, that's my haunted house career. What about yours? Where'd you start?
As a kid, I always used to put sheet walls up in the basement and light.
Oh yeah,
and all that kind of shit.
I used to draw pictures as a kid and hang them up, so I can relate to that.
And didn't really have blood, so I used to take my mom's bright red fingernail polish and put it all. It actually worked pretty damn good, you know.
I bet it did, because it would dry pretty solid, so that'd be pretty good.
But my actual first pro haunt I worked at was in Chillicothe, Illinois, when I lived and worked there in a place called Spider Hill.
Oh, okay. Spider Hill was your first pro haunt. I didn't know that.
That was my first pro haunt. I was there 15 years, I think.
Wow.
From 96 until 2011. How many years is that? Fuck, I can't count.
And I can't count.
But,
too late in the night. So you basically only worked Spider Hill and Moxley then?
Yep, for pro haunts, yep.
That's some loyalty.
Very loyal. Very loyal. Well, I'm not a haunt jumper like a lot of people are, you know.
In between the American Legion and Moxley, I did jump around everywhere. I was at the Cutting Edge there for a bit, and then me and Bob jumped around a few places. Here's a funny story. Bob got a gig at this place called Silo X, which was like an alien theme. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but so he told me to come out, and so got hired on doing the Blue Demon gig. And they said, I think I was there the first night. They said, we can't have you work here anymore. And I'm like, why? They said, well, you're too scary. Your character's too scary to meet our theme. So they fired me. I got fired for being too scary for a haunted house.
So Bob, did Bob stay then? Or?
Yeah, Bob's like, fuck them, man. Are they going to fire you? And I think we went to Pueblo del Diablo haunted house and worked, because he made a commercial for him. And,
where was this Silo X at?
Somewhere in Dallas. I don't remember. I think they were like a franchise haunt.
Oh.
Then this guy that was used to work the Cutting Edge opened up a haunted house on Race Street, which is right basically two steps away from your house.
Yeah.
And opened up a haunted house called the Dark Side, I believe it was. So, of course, you know, it's right near me. I'm like, I'm going to go work for them. Worked the first year for them. They had me manage the top floor, which consisted of three rooms and running the fog machine. Then the next season, things didn't go so well, and he ended up shutting down. And me and Bob found him in a parking lot at the Cutting Edge, and we made fun of him a little bit. So I did jump around, but then, I ran my own Count Karabi haunted house, which was a backyard haunt. But it was definitely more than a backyard. I mean, we really put some detail in that thing. It got too big, way too big for what we were doing. And that's when I finally shut it down and moved on to Moxley.
Yeah, when I was at Spider Hill, I started, like I said, they had three attractions. They had a haunted house, which they started with trailers all hooked together.
Oh, okay, yeah. A bunch
of different mobile homes hooked together. And then they had a walking trail and a hayrack ride through the woods. It was probably a good 3/4 of a mile traveling through it. And they had we had a bridge built.
Oh, yeah.
You went over this ravine-like thing, and it was pretty cool. It had a huge pirate ship out there on the trail. It was huge. It was like life-size pirate ship, man.
Wow.
Old Patrick, you know that? Patrick would love that, man.
Yeah.
But, shout out to Patrick.
Yeah.
Or as we like to call him. What do we like to call
Kerry
him?
Carl? King. Kerry King.
Yeah. Remember the first time I saw him walk up there.
Yeah, you're like,
who's that Kerry King looking motherfucker?
Yeah. Yeah. He's good people.
Yeah.
He's a heart of gold.
Patrick. Yeah.
Heart of gold. You know, in this area, you really can't have any trails because of the weather around here. It's either 100 exactly. degrees or raining. There's no in between. But out there in Terrell, the haunted Verdun Manor, they used to do a little trail, and it was actually a walking trail, and it was a lot of fun. But it kind of got washed out, I think. And I think they started doing a hayride instead. And then the guy that owned that place ended up passing away, and it got sold to different people. But that was a cool haunted house in the day. It was a werewolf theme.
Huh. Yeah, we had all kinds of stuff on the. By the time I left, I was basically running that hayrack ride myself. Me and like, we just had a handful of people, like 5 people running it, you know?
Oh, wow.
And we'd start second week because they would have a festival every year there at the park we were at.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'd have to wait for that before we could start building. So second or third week of August, we'd start coming up after work and, you know, and I had sound all run through that trail and everything, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit kind of like the screams out there at Scarborough Fair. You know, they run the Renaissance Festival, and then they have the haunted haunt park in the fall, and it's kind of an outdoor event. Always been a lot of fun, but hadn't been out there in a long time. Guy we know named Radon is the manager of it now, but last year COVID knocked him out, so I'm sure they'll have a good thing going this year. I bet everybody's going to be going strong this year.
Oh, I hope
not
so,
only
man.
Haunt business, so. Horror movies, heavy metal, all the stuff we cover here on the show. It's going to be in full swing in this fall.
Full swing.
Hey, I like that. Yeah. Full swing, man. Concerts, movies. It's just like the world's going back to normal finally.
Yeah, I finally seen that new Conjuring.
Oh, how was it?
It was okay.
I think they may have finally made it.
Wasn't the best one.
Man, I think they've made enough of those by now. You know, they've made, 3 Conjurings, like 4 Annabelles and The Nun.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're kind of beating that whole thing to death a little bit now.
This went into more about Ed and Lorraine Warren and their relationship too a little bit and all that, and
interesting people for sure.
Oh yeah. I'm I'm Facebook friends with Andrea Perrin from
The
First Conjuring. She was the oldest daughter.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
She was on a friend of mine's podcast. Shout out to Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry and Tracy Pauly. She was on that show for their 100th episode.
Oh, that's neat.
Or it was a 100th episode or 1 year anniversary episode, I think it was. And I just re-listened to that, by the way. And she was a good interview, man. She went through some shit.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So
yeah, those Conjuring movies were really cool. But again, I think, you know, everything, they always have to throw everything, you know, even the Saw movies, you know, they've just, you know, they rebooted Saw this year with Chris Rock. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I seen that too.
That was pretty good. It was really good.
Yeah,
Chris Rock was badass in it.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I'm not a big comedy fan per se, but he was really good in that movie. Yeah. I hope to see him do more serious roles like that.
He was still funny in a way, but
he was funny, but kind of in a jerk, you know, way more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd like to see a sequel to see how that thing ends.
Samuel L. Jackson played his dad.
That was kind of a trip. Yeah. But you know, the Saws kind of got run in the ground there for a bit too. Yeah, they run everything in the ground. Friday the 13th, Halloween, they ran everything down eventually.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what this new Halloween's going to be like.
I wasn't a big fan of that last one.
Yeah, the 2018 one?
Oh, I wasn't a fan at all.
Yeah, I didn't really like it. My favorite will and always will be the original.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I seen it when I was 11. Seen it at the drive-in for the first
time. Yeah. You can't see him on camera, but Michael's right here standing with us.
You can see
his knife. Look at that. You can see his knife.
You got Jason there behind
you. Jason's right behind me, yeah.
Big fucker.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we got a whole museum here of stuff.
That's why it's Karabi's Museum.
Yep, Count Karabi's Museum. We actually have people call wanting to come through it all the time. Pretty crazy.
That's funny, man. Didn't you say you had a dumpster company?
A dumpster called me and like, we could take care of your sanitation problems. I'm like, I don't have any sanitation problems. Well, a museum like yours, you know, you've always got to have a dumpster out there. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need no dumpster. Legitimate, for real. They really got a call for that. They actually called and said, "Is this Count Karabi's Museum?"
That's funny, man.
Yeah. Oh, good. We've been looking for you. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny shit. So what's your favorite horror movie, man, of all time?
Of all time. That's hard to really pick one.
Oh, I know.
My first horror movie was The Phantasm, the very first Phantasm movie. And I'll tell you what, Phantasm 2 goes on my list, even though it don't have the original Michael in it. Reggie Bannister just kicks absolute ass in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Evil Dead 2.
I like all them movies. I don't care what you say. All of them are good, man.
Evil Dead 2 is one of my favorite movies. Which, you know, I said I'm not a big comedy fan. That's the kind of comedy I like, is the morbid comedy.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Yeah. Love that movie. Funny as hell. Dog Will Hunt. Yeah, I got to meet Bill Moseley one year. He's just as funny in real life as he is on, you know.
The person I'm really jealous of you meeting is fucking Angus, man.
Yes.
Fuck.
That was a 2-hour wait, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Definitely worth it. If you see me pecking around.
He passed away like 2 months later, right after that.
It was pretty soon after, yes. Yeah. Because we were waiting for a long time because they were having trouble getting him to come downstairs. I guess he just wasn't moving real good. But yeah, that was like, I remember telling him I had a Moxley shirt on And he said, "Moxley Manor, what is that?" You know, he talked with like a Shakespearean voice.
Yeah, yeah.
"What is that?" I said, "It's a haunted house I work at." And I said, "I've been doing haunted houses since I was a little kid. And, you know, actually, you're the reason why, because when I saw Phantasm, that's what got me into all the horror movies and haunted houses." And he looked and he kind of smiled and he said, "Well, I'm very glad that, you know, had an influence on you." So really cool, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd have to probably say those Phantasm movies might be my favorite horror movies right there. I love Halloween. I love Halloween 1. Definitely got to be one of the greatest. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
yeah, it started. That's my favorite, I think, of all time.
Yeah. Never been anything close to it again.
Just the lighting in it and everything.
Oh, yeah. Carpenter was a genius in that movie.
A lot of people think otherwise, though. It's like.
Yeah, who's that guy that goes to the concert? Under the concerts, the conventions you said was Trash Talks the movie.
Oh, the Tony Michael. Moran guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck that guy.
He said he doesn't.
He was Michael Myers for all of 3.8 seconds. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He wants to trash talk fucking everybody and shit.
I haven't heard too many people ever trash talk a Halloween movie, or not a Halloween, but well, that Halloween with the original.
Was in it.
Now, Halloween 7 or something, I guess you could talk all the shit you want about. But yeah, why would anybody want to trash on the original Halloween?
Oh, have you seen that video of him going off?
Yeah, I saw it.
You need to look that up, man. That's
I don't know. It sounded like he was being kind of a jerk, but kind of a little tongue in cheek at the same time, maybe. I don't know.
Fuck that guy.
Well, maybe he just wasn't a horror movie guy and he just got stuck in that movie, and I don't know. But no doubt about it, that's definitely a classic.
He's making money. He's charging $40 a pop to get a fucking sign a picture, man. Fuck.
Well, who's paying the $40?
Yeah, I know. You know,
so fuck them, you know.
I wouldn't pay $40.
Somebody is.
Oh, well, he's canceled a bunch of appearances since shit came out.
Maybe he's not getting his $40 anymore.
Oh, I hope not. Fuck that guy.
Going to some of the conventions, though, I feel sorry for
Joni's brother. His sister was Joni off of Happy Days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Aaron Moran.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, you go to some of these conventions and some of these people are just sitting at the table and they don't have anybody coming to them, and it's kind of sad in a way. Then you realize
some of them were like the guy from fucking Teen Wolf, the dad.
Yeah.
In a fucking wheelchair, he was dribbling his fucking oatmeal and shit, dude. It was fucking awful.
Well, the worst is the ones that were in Dawn of the Dead. They're like zombie, you know, like, what are they, like skateboard zombie, and like, who the fuck cares? You know, I don't care. I mean, I think I'm more famous than some of these people, for God's sakes. Oh, look over there. There was the zombie that was in the fountain. And he's at a convention trying to get $40. Like, who the fuck cares, you know? You know, bring John Carpenter in, you know.
Oh,
bring
shit.
Bruce Campbell in. Bring in the real people. I don't want to see some guys dressed up like a zombie and for 5 seconds in a movie and then them trying to live on it their whole life. Well, yeah. You know, I played, there are some guys like, I played a stormtrooper in Star Wars.
Oh, like, yeah, well, really?
Yeah, he knocked it on. The one on the Death Star. There you go. Trying to make money. And people pay for that stuff. It's crazy, you know?
I know. It's crazy. That's. Well, remember when people were wanting my autograph at Moxley?
Yes, yes.
Was it you that made famous. Them fucking pictures?
Yes.
Who made them fucking pictures?
I printed it out. It was you and Danielle Harris. Is that who it was?
No, my Bubba pictures.
Oh, that one. Well, you had one with her. That's what we were telling everybody. Oh, your girlfriend.
You made copies of pictures of my Bubba picture.
Yeah, and they wanted pictures of Bubba Moxley. They wanted autographs, but they thought that that she was your girlfriend. And they thought you were some big celebrity.
Oh, that's fucking funny shit, man.
You signed I got a picture of you signing the autographs.
Fucking nobody, man.
Well, you signed autographs.
Oh, that was just a joke, man.
Hey, If you signed an autograph, you're somebody, I guess.
That's fucking.
At least she wasn't Slee Stack number 6 from Land of the Lost or nothing, you know.
No shit. Slee Stack.
I swear to God, I think I could get a booth at one of these conventions and just sit there and say, come meet Count Karabi, and I could probably make about at least $100 just sitting this. I might come get my signature.
No shit. Just make
Just
go to Walmart and print off some fucking pictures.
I might do that one year. I just might do it. I'll just show up at a convention and then, yeah, come meet Count Karabi.
That's funny shit, man.
One of the conventions had some guy that used to host some movie thing, like a TV movie, you know, Elvira thing. And I never heard of the guy whatsoever. And he was like their star celebrity at one of the conventions. I'm like, okie dokie. Freaking have video Bob there. He's at least, you know, have somebody with some.
The first year I went to Texas Frightmare, I got there. And I walk up through the parking deck and shit where you go in, and there's this fucking biker gang fucking sitting out front.
Okay.
I'm like, what the fuck is, you know, there's like fucking 7-8 of them, you know?
Yeah.
The Impalers.
Okay.
Well, maybe. they were all in this movie called, what the fuck was the name of it? I can't even think of it now.
I don't know.
Dear God, no.
Okay.
It was like a biker, like a 70s type, you know, cheesy biker Bigfoot fucking movie, dude.
Bigfoot?
There was Bigfoot in it, dude.
So they were at the convention signing autographs?
Well, they premiered their movie there.
Oh, okay.
And they gave out fucking... They had coolers and coolers of fucking Pabst Blue Ribbon fucking 16-ounce cans, dude. They were just giving them out, dude.
Wow.
And the guy from Lawrence Harvey, the guy from, what the fuck is that movie?
I don't know.
They sewed everybody ass to mouth. What the hell was the name of that movie?
Oh, that's
the Human Centipede. Centipede.
That was terrible.
Well, that guy was there, man. I think he was in the second one.
Okay.
Human Centipede 2. The short little fat guy. He's like a big English actor, dude. And he sat there and drank fucking beers with us and fucking... Watch that fucking movie, dude. The whole fucking... I got fucked up that night, man. I don't even remember driving home, dude.
Wow. Maybe we need to get a booth and say, come meet Bubba and just have you sign some autographs. You might make some money, too, at this stage. I hate to down on people, but, I mean, it gets kind of ridiculous at some of these conventions, you know?
Oh, I know, man. Some of them are desperate, man, for sure. It sucks that it's come to that, you know?
Well, you know, in the world of heavy metal, it's kind of the reverse. These bands, you'll charge like $500 to go meet them. You know, like Alice Cooper, who's always been a pretty down-to-earth guy, he's charging like crazy amounts of money now for meet and greets.
For meet and greet, yeah.
Yeah. I remember back when I started going to concerts, meet and greet, you stood back and you might see the band walk by and they'd stop and sign autographs and talk with everybody for a while and then they'd go on, grab a couple groupies and leave. There wasn't no such thing as a meet and greet.
Know who was good about that? Was Ronnie James Dio, dude. He would stand out there and sign till the crowd was gone, dude.
And there's no way that he had to do that. He was just doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah, he loved his fans, dude. He would stand out there and sign every fucking autograph until everybody was gone.
No, he didn't sign something. It had to do with Vivian Campbell. He started.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen a video of that.
It pissed him off. And
they had guitar things. Somebody had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And he knew they were going to sign
that crap.
He knew they were going to sign them. And somebody asked him about Vivian Campbell. He's like, isn't he with fucking Def Leppard?
Yeah. Yeah. He's Def Leppard.
He's like, what the fuck's up with that?
He always trash talked Ronnie a lot, and after he passed away, he started that band Last in Line with like, I guess, Vinny Appice or Appice or whatever the hell his last name is. You know, you got the brothers; they have different last names.
Yeah.
But yeah, they started like a Dio tribute band or some crap, and I just thought, you know, you talk shit about Ronnie until, and then he dies, you start a band up, and then they had the Dio's Disciples, which was actually the band that was playing with Dio when he passed away. Well, actually, he's playing with Black Sabbath at the time, but before that,
it wasn't Goldie and
Goldie and
Ripper was singing
Tim
vocals.
Owens, yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw, but then they started that whole Dio hologram thing, and that kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little strange. I think I'd rather go see Vivian Campbell play old Dio songs in a hologram of Dio standing there. That's just
creepy.
Well,
he was a good guitarist, you know, but shit, I think he started with Ronnie when he was like 17 years old.
He was a young guy. Well, Vinny, you know, was with Ronnie through everything. You know, they were in Black Sabbath together, then started the Dio band together, and I guess they eventually had a semi-falling out. But then they got back together and joined Black Sabbath again. Then they went back to the Dio band again. So anything Vinny does, I think I'd consider pretty legit. But I think he played with Vivian in that Last in Line. I don't know. I didn't really pay a lot of attention. It's just sad to see Dio pass away the way he did.
Yeah, I know, man. That sucked. I bought the tribute shirt and the little program and all that, man. That was...
Well, I got to see him on that last the Black Sabbath Heaven and Hell tour, and it was absolutely wonderful. They played at in Grand Prairie at that little theater there, and it was just a great show.
Huh.
First time they played with Priest, and that time they were playing with Megadeth, and never would have thought that'd be the last time I saw Dio perform, but unfortunately it was.
Yeah, I seen him with Sabbath. Shit, what year was that? 82, I think. 81, 82.
Oh, you saw him when it originally was with
Sabbath. Yeah, with the Heaven and Hell tour. Or was it no, it wasn't the...
Could have been Mob Rules.
Yeah, it was the Mob Rules tour. It was like 80, 82.
Yeah, that would have been Mob Rules.
81, 82. Somewhere around in there.
Yeah, that would have been...
That was like my second concert I've ever been to.
That's pretty impressive.
First concert was UFO and AC/DC, man, with Bon Scott.
Wow.
1979.
Not me.
I was 12.
Well, you know, my dad was in a Western swing band, so I wasn't really around a lot of rock music until I got a little bit older. But the first heavy metal band that I really cued into, or hard rock, whatever you want to call it, would have been Motley Crue and Shout at the Devil. We thought they were just some kind of evil, satanic. We were just my God. We thought, oh, these are the coolest people we've ever seen. Got a pentagram on the album and singing Shout at the Devil. So Motley was my first band that I really got into as far as the hard rock and metal scene.
Yeah, I love that album, man. I got that for Christmas that year. I remember, was that like 1983?
Hey, what a good Christmas present.
Yeah. Got that, and forget what other albums I got. That's all I ever wanted when I was a kid, man.
Well, I was a little later to the scene than you, but of course I'm a couple of years younger as well. But I definitely made up for lost time. See, I'm one of the famous people that was actually a fan of Kiss in the 80s without makeup.
I've seen Kiss on that Lick It Up tour, man. That was a fucking good show. When they had the
Bruce
fuzzy,
Kulick.
When they had the fuzzy boots and stuff.
Hey, Bruce Kulick, Eric Carr, Gene and Paul, that was my Kiss. And apparently there's a lot of people that felt that way, because there's a lot of 80s Kiss fans out there. But that's what got me going. And, you know, I made my way back and learned all the old stuff. But as a kid, I remember Kiss really well, but I just didn't think that much about them, really. I was younger, you know.
Was it you that posted that picture with Bruce and Gene and Eric Singer?
Yes, yes.
Eric Singer's a little bitty guy, man. I didn't know he was that.
He's a little on the shorter side, but Gene and Bruce are very tall as well. So that's kind of an exaggerated picture. Gene's huge. He's a tall guy.
Yeah, he is.
But I actually got to meet Gene, and that was one of the greatest honors of my life.
Down to Florida with Bob.
Yeah, Key West, Florida. We spent the whole day with Gene.
Rock and roll camp or whatever the hell it's called.
Nah, it was.
That would have been awesome, man.
What did they call that? It was the Gene Simmons bass experience. He taught Bob how to play bass. And there wasn't many people there. It was just a few of us in a room. And at one point, we were sitting in a circle together, and Gene was telling the stories and stuff. I'll tell you what, I've met a lot of people, but Gene was about one of the coolest I ever met.
Oh, I bet, dude.
Just down to earth, just like a normal person. No celebrity rubbing off, even though he's worth, like $500 million or whatever. You'd never know it.
Yeah, I guess
he really cares about his fans. People can talk all the shit, but Gene cares about his fans.
Yep.
And he cares about the legacy that Kiss has left behind. And a lot of people get mad because Ace and Peter got, you know, kicked out. But, you know, Gene and Paul run a machine there. And if you're not, they replaced it
all these years, man.
Exactly. They
treated it as a business, you know.
It's treated as a business. And, you know, as much as I don't care for Tommy Thayer, they just put out a live recording of a soundboard from Japan, and it was with Ace and Eric Singer playing, which is interesting. But listening to Ace on some of those solos, this was near the end before Ace left. He just didn't have the chops that Thayer has. Thayer makes it sound like it was in the 70s. Ace just, yeah, I love Ace to death. Got to meet Ace before, too. He was a cool guy. Yeah, found out, he told me, he said, "Your name is Carl." I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "That's my dad's name. Did you know that?" I'm like, "No, sir, I didn't know that." And he said, "Yeah." Ace was just a sweetheart.
Yep.
But, you know, Ace had his demons, unfortunately, as did Peter. But hell, ain't nobody got the demons that Vinnie Vincent has. I don't know what's going on with that dude.
First time I ever seen him, I thought he was a fucking chick, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Vinnie Vincent invasion.
Well, he got fired out of the Vinnie Vincent invasion, and they became Slaughter. The record company fired him out of his own band and gave the record deal to Mark Slaughter and the bass player. So Vinnie Vincent invasion became Slaughter, which is pretty fucked up when you get kicked out of your own band.
No shit. Oh, I watched a really cool doc last night. On Randy Castillo, man.
Oh, he was a good guy, too.
You need to watch that. That was a good...
Oh, I'd love to watch that. I was a big fan of
it. It's on Prime, dude.
Okay.
You need to watch it. I tell everybody to watch it. Yeah, he was an awesome drummer, dude.
He was Ozzy forever.
Yeah, he was. Shit, almost 10 years, I think.
Well, he played a couple tours with Motley when Tommy Lee refused to play.
Yep. And Tommy did the whatever the rap bullshit.
Whatever he was doing.
The Methods of Mayhem or whatever the hell it was. Well,
a lot of it had to do with the fact he didn't like Vince and wasn't happy when Vince came back into the band. But that's a story for another time. I could talk about that all night. At one point, though, Randy got sick, you know, and he eventually passed away of cancer. Yeah. And they had that Samantha Malone or whatever her name was from Hole up there playing drums with him for one tour. And it went south because I guess Nikki was banging her and his wife found out. So she got kicked off the tour in the middle of it. Don't put a girl in Motley Crue. That ain't going to work out. Those guys are some whatever.
But she was just filling in for Randy or what?
Yeah, I think she was filling in at the time because he was.
Because on that doc last night, they said they didn't know who the hell they were going to get, you know. Vince was like, "I don't know anybody, you know. I don't know who the hell we're going to get."
They got Randy, that Samantha.
Randy's the shit. Randy's the shit, you know.
Yeah. Tell you what, if anybody could fill in for Tommy Lee. He would have been the guy. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Tommy is still one hell of a drummer. That guy doesn't get nearly the credit that he deserves for his ability.
But he couldn't play. High school band drums though.
Nope, couldn't do that. Tommy's a good drummer. He always was. Just like Mick is a great guitar player, and Mick never got any credit.
Yeah. I always liked Mick Mars, man. I thought he was badass.
Yeah.
Now if he can still play without having to fucking sit in a goddamn wheelchair, man.
I don't know. Mick's got that disease where his back is ankylosing
spondylitis or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. I don't think Motley Crue is ever going to go on that tour. I'm worried about Vince's health at this stage of his life. I think he needs to just go home and try to take care of his health.
Yeah.
They don't need to be on tour. Mick is not in the best of shape, and Vince is definitely not. He's not good at all right now. So I think they need to stay retired.
That's what I think. Or get in shape and try it again, you know?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that's the only concert I know of that's canceled for the year that was supposed to, you know, that had been rescheduled. Everybody else is running. I still ain't paying $100 to sit in the grass to see Megadeth. Fuck that. Especially after they kicked the bass player out of there.
Well, wow. All the tickets are cheaper in fucking Austin. What's up with that? Why are they cheaper down there?
Maybe nobody likes Megadeth in Austin. I don't know.
I've heard a couple people going down there and they said, well, we got lawn seats. They're only $40, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I think that Toyota fucking music factory, because of the shutdown from COVID and shit,
jumped the prices up.
Yeah, they're racking up the fucking prices.
That's probably true. A lot of people lost money in the last year and a half, so they're going to try to make it up
what they can, you know. Yeah, but I don't see who's paying that money to go to that. I wouldn't pay that. I don't care who the fuck you are.
Now it depends for me. I'd pay that for Kiss, Iron Maiden.
Yeah, I'd go see.
That's about it.
I'd spend a couple $100 on Maiden.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know that I would on Priest anymore. That whole Priest camp is kind of you got KK's Priest going on now, then you got Rob's Priest, I guess, for lack of better words, because Glenn's not in the band anymore. That Richie Faulkner guy seems to be running the show there.
Oh, did you know? I found out a little tidbit of information about that too. You know, he's what's his name from Doc and the guitarist?
Jeff Bilson? George Lynch.
Yeah, he's George Lynch's son-in-law.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I found that out. They got a kid together and shit. Him.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's a good guitarist though, man. Because
let me tell you, that last Priest album was probably the best thing they've put out.
Firepower, since Rob Halford. Yeah. Like that, man. That
best album thing, since Rob Halford came back, no doubt about it.
They got a song on there called "Evil Never Dies."
They do have a song called "Evil Never Dies."
Yes, they do.
They certainly do.
And it's
but that's a great album
too.
But I'm pretty excited about this KK's Priest with Ripper and
I'm
KK.
I'm about to drink this whole fucking bottle of wine.
I'm still on my same glass.
I'm sipping now, though. Fuck it. It's Saturday night.
We could be in Richardson watching John Corabi encore performance.
You keep saying that.
I'm just saying. Encore performance.
How much was tickets for that?
I don't remember what I paid. I paid for the front row. I paid a pretty good ton of money on it.
Really?
Hey, I named my haunted house and my Halloween character after the dude. I deserved it. Got a picture with him now.
Yeah. Count
Corabi meets John Corabi, but he didn't seem interested in the whole haunted house thing. Yeah. Well,
that's probably the least of his worries.
It was the least of that guy's worries, yeah. Some dumbass named a haunted house after me. Whoopty fucking do, I'm sure he's thinking.
Just hope he don't fucking sue you.
Nah. I'll tell you what, he's one of the most laid back people you could ever meet.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But he does have that rock star aura to him. You could sense it.
Yeah.
He knows he's legit. But he was laid back. But he still had that little bit of, I'm a rock star and you people aren't, bang going down. But it was Count Karabi met John Karabi. How's that?
You should title your picture that.
Yeah, if I bet I showed up in the Count Karabi outfit, he would have noticed it.
Scared the shit out of him.
Hell, I can dress up before we go to Richardson right now.
Started talking in reverse and shit at him.
Yeah, I don't know. He might call the cops or
security.
Shit. Well, what else we got for this episode?
I don't know. What do you think, man?
This is more of an intro. I know we've been all over the place, but we covered a lot
of this. Is basically
the current.
When we're both on, this is basically what you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a mishmash. We're going to try to stay on topic of some stuff, you know, like.
Well, yeah.
Like pick a topic, either, you know.
KK's Priest.
A movie or a band or
Halloween 6, you know, something.
An individual I might throw in a couple of episodes, short little episodes of some stuff just myself when,
you know,
I'm not available because he fucking works fucking ungodly goddamn hours.
Yeah, so, and I've got like 4,000 CDs at my disposal. I'll just grab one and start talking about it. This is actually a Banshee CD. The band Banshee, signed by lead singer George Call. So, yeah, we'll just grab CDs sometime and I'll just start talking and some knowledge on them.
My CDs are boxed up in my storage unit.
I keep mine around. I don't listen to them, obviously. I actually will still burn a CD.
As you can see there, iTunes. I got a bunch of DVDs up there. They're probably 99.8% horror movies.
Yeah, I collect horror Blu-rays now because a lot of the old Hammer films were on DVD, but they were so terrible. The footage, you know, it was like the old pan and scan, you know, like whatever you call it. And they had all that snow going through them. So the companies like Scream Factory and clean these movies up, put them on Blu-ray and master them in 4K. They look great. Huh. They look absolutely great. That's one of my favorite hobbies is collecting those old Hammer films. Throughout the museum here, I've got posters everywhere of Hammer stuff. I've got like The Curse of the Werewolf, Phantom of the Opera poster, a lot of Christopher Lee stuff. That's one of my big interests is those old films. Just find them so... yeah, I know they
see all that old shit back in the 70s. With my mom would take me to go see all that shit, man.
I know they look dated now, the effects, but you just watch them and just imagine back to, like you said, to when they were out, and just such good stories and such good acting. You don't get that in a lot of the modern horror movies anymore.
Exactly. Christopher Lee, man, he's my favorite Dracula, I think, of all time, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of, that's what I kind of base the whole look of Count Karabi's face on is the Christopher Lee. You know, I used to slick my hair back like him and put the red contacts in, but I got to give Gary Oldman a little bit of credit. That's another one of my influences is the way he portrayed Dracula and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Very, very good. Far as to the novel, I think he played it a little better than anybody. And he based it a little bit on the actual real fucking Vlad the Impaler, I think. So I give that movie some props, too. Even though it did have Keanu Reeves in it, but that's okay. People always trash it on Keanu Reeves for that movie. And I'm like, I don't know that he did a bad job in it. I mean, I think they're used to him talking like Bill and Ted at that point. And here he is in a Dracula movie talking with a British accent. It's all good.
I like Keanu, man. Fucking them John Wick movies, man. Fuck, them are badass, dude.
Well, you got to remember, though, he was still doing all those silly comedies. I think that Bram Stoker's Dracula might have been one of his first serious movies. That and what was that surfer movie he did? That's not a horror movie, but
Point Break.
Point Break.
Well, he did a movie back in the early 80s, man. It was called River's Edge.
That movie. Yeah.
Remember that movie?
I do.
Where the, had a their badass friend,
soundtrack, too.
Yeah, their friend murdered that girl on the edge of the river, and they were all trying to hide it and shit. Yeah. That was a good fucking movie, man. He played like the stoner dude in that, too, though.
All my movies on the other side of the room, but I've got a few here. Like, I got the whole collection of Twilight Zones on Blu-ray.
Oh, shit, man.
That's one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I still watch them after all these years. But this is every one of them. I know with streaming, everybody's like, well, you can watch that on streaming. I'm like, yeah, until the internet goes out. And I'll pull out my Blu-ray and watch that crap. And got it going.
Well, you remember Night Gallery?
You mean this?
You got the whole, how many seasons? Is that just one season or is that the whole?
This is season two.
Oh, here's man. Here's
season three and season one. So, yeah, you name it. I probably own it when it comes to horror movies.
Man.
I probably got, what do we got right here?
I've been watching it.
Well, looky right there. Tales from the Dark Side. Apparently, I've got all my TV shows over on this side of the room. All my Blu-rays on the other side. Yeah,
I need to get a Blu-ray player so I can borrow some of your shit.
Here's a cool little book edition of the Judas Priest album Nostradamus. And I thought that was really cool the way they put that out. It made it look kind of like a Nostradamus, the prophet book. You know, the lyrics look like they're in the form that he wrote in.
Yeah.
So I got all kinds of little nifty stuff around here.
Yeah, you find all kinds of cool shit, man.
Got an Iron Maiden Book of Souls box CD. I think it came with some extra things.
They got the Blu-ray in it too, or DVD?
I'm not sure if it does or not. I think it was the album itself. You got a Camelot box
set. We went to that show. Fucking Eddie caught on fire, remember?
He did catch on fire. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Camelot. I got a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, they're more the
symphonic metal.
Yeah, I'm not really into that.
See, that's where me and Brett differ a lot. He's
I'm more of a thrash death.
Cookie Monster.
No, not really Cookie Monster. I like I still like Cookie the Beatles, Monster. Man.
You can have the Beatles. You can have them. I have no comment on the Beatles. To me, Led Zeppelin's the Beatles, probably.
I like Zeppelin too, man.
Zeppelin and Sabbath and Deep Purple, they were the Beatles to me.
We'll have to do a thing on Led Zeppelin, man, with all the paranormal bullshit and his devil worshiping, and
do one on Deep Purple too. They never got the credit they deserved.
Oh, I fucking love Deep Purple, dude.
Oh yeah. Sabbath, I think, people have kind of overranked them some over the years, because let's be honest, some of those albums with Ozzy in the late 70s, that's just some psychedelic, weird-ass music to me.
Technical ecstasy?
Yes, the first couple albums were fucking masterpieces, but I don't know what they were thinking later on in the 70s with those albums. When Ronnie came in the band, it totally changed. So
yes, it did.
Not the trash on Sabbath, but they had some weird shit going on for a while.
Then in the late 80s, when they had that shit going on, that Eternal Idol album. Oh my God.
The one with Glenn Hughes?
Yeah, and then Seventh Star was with Glenn Hughes, I think.
That was actually supposed to be a Tony Iommi solo album, and the record label made him call it Black Sabbath featuring Tony Iommi, and that pissed off Glenn Hughes because he's like, I didn't want to be the singer of Black Sabbath.
Yeah, that album sucked, dude.
You know what?
There was one good song on that Eternal Idol album, man, that I liked. It was, I forget the name of it.
shit. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there
was one good song
on there.
They sort of turned things around with that album, Headless Cross, though. That's a great album.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark, and it's kind of got the feel of the old Sabbath again.
I'd have to say my favorite Sabbath album is probably Sabotage, dude. I played the fucking grooves off that goddamn thing, dude, when I had it.
I could see that.
That's what I miss about vinyl, dude.
Not me. I was never a fan of vinyl when I was a kid because I used to drop the fucking vinyl and sometimes it would break or crack and then put it on the needle and then sure enough, it'd get a scratch in it. When they came out with CDs, I was so damn happy. I remember I tried to buy a CD player and they were like $1,500 when they came out.
Oh, yeah.
I think I paid eventually like $700 as a kid for a CD player. Yeah.
No way.
I did. I jumped on the CDs really early.
My first one was a Magnavox. I got it from the fucking fucking pawn shop, dude. I paid like $50 for it.
No, I paid a bunch for mine in
like 1991 or some shit when they first came out.
No, they came out way before that. I was buying CDs in like 88. I think like late 88, early 89. I started, the first thing I did was I went and almost every album, record album I had, I started replacing them on CD. And I think the first CD I ever bought was No Rest for the Wicked from Ozzy Osbourne as far as a new album went. That was the first CD I bought new. The
first CD I bought new was fucking Anthrax, Sound of White Noise.
Ah, with John Bush.
Yep. That was the first CD I bought.
I'm pretty sure it was No Rest for the Wicked because I remember they came in those long boxes at the time and I could kick myself for not keeping those things because they're very valuable now.
Yeah.
I kept them actually for many, many years. And one day I finally said, let's just throw these fuckers away. And then now they fast forward to 2021, those little long things are worth money. These in certain ones, I don't know who buys.
I wish I had all my vinyls, dude. I had over 300 vinyl albums. I had the original pressing of fucking Black Sabbath's first album, dude.
I had albums as a kid, obviously, and a lot of them are on the wall and another room in the house. I framed them, but I just have no interest in buying vinyl albums. I don't really have that much of an interest in buying CDs per se anymore. I'll just buy them for the bands I like to support the bands. But as soon as I get them, I got a little CD burner hooked up to this Mac and I burn them right to iTunes and throw the CD and just keep it for collection purposes. But I've actually kept some of my vinyl records. I've got a stack about that thick, actually. I got an old Dokken album in there I remember seeing a couple weeks ago. So I got some cool stuff. But I did frame a bunch of them. I know I framed South of Heaven from Slayer.
Yeah,
it's up on the wall.
Album, man.
It's on the wall. But I don't know though if I'll ever get rid of my CDs. Let's see what I grab this time. Well, looky there. Rebel Meets Rebel.
Oh!
David Allan Coe and
Daryl
and Vinnie Paul. And I think Rex played bass on it, too.
That's good shit, man.
Yeah. Yep. So, see, you never know what you could find here in the Count Karabi Museum as far as music or movies.
You the man. You got everything, man.
I got a pretty good little collection, I guess, going on.
Well, you've been collecting it for years, dude.
I have. Since about 1987, really.
I wish I had all my shit from 1987, dude.
Well, I have only lived in...
You seen them pictures of my bedroom when I was fucking
15? Well, I was kind of lucky. The house I pretty much was born in, I grew up in and lived there until I moved out. And when I moved out, I moved across the street behind a little apartment that I built pretty much myself behind my grandmother's house. And I moved from there to where I am now. So I hadn't really moved too many places. So I've managed to keep all my crap together. There is some stuff I got rid of that I kind of regret though over the years, but you can't keep everything. You got to go in.
All my vinyl got fucking stolen and traded for meth out in California.
Well, that ain't good.
No, it's not. But what the fuck are you going to do?
Yep. What do we got here? Oh, look at that. Can't
do nothing about that.
We got a Dokken acoustic CD right here.
Oh, they're playing out in the Lava Cantina, too.
With
George Lynch.
With George Lynch opening, I believe.
Yeah.
That's and he funny. Goes on stage and does a couple songs.
That might be cool to look at. Check out.
Somebody's creeping around the museum here. I don't think there's a ghost. The creeper. Or it could be that devil I bought. Remember that statue I got in I almost said Key West in Galveston a week or two ago.
Yeah, that thing's bad. Go get that motherfucker and show it to everybody, man. That fucking badass. Let me get it. I'll be back. This fucking thing's awesome, dude. It's totally fucking satanic for sure. Yeah, so this is what it's going to be about. We're just going to be bullshitting basically about anything heavy metal and horror related. So look at that. That is awesome, dude. Copper. Made out of copper.
Well, apparently, he was in Hurricane Ike. That's how long he'd been in that shop, and it turned him turned him color. You can see where the copper kind of darkened. And I guess he'd been hanging on that. I think he
looks badass like that, dude.
Well, the owner of the shop, it's the Witchery in Galveston, and I guess he said, they're a metaphysical witch, Wicca, whatever you want to call it, shop. They get a lot of tourists, he said. So this guy more or less creeped him out, so nobody ever wanted to buy him. I thought it would have cost about $400 or $500, but he was like $80. So, yeah, now score. He's hanging around here.
Big score on that, man. That's awesome.
We got to keep him and Robert the Doll away from each other, though. Robert's not real happy with this guy, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a replica of Robert the Doll from Key West in here, too. But we don't disturb Robert. He stays in his box, so. I have to post pictures of Robert or something. You got to ask his permission before you take his picture, though. He'll put a curse on you.
Yeah, Bob found that out the hard way, didn't he?
Yeah, his back of his Ghostbusters ambulance fell out. While I was over there, look, grabbed a Blu-ray. Check this one out. This is Brides of Dracula from Hammer Films. So look at the job that the Scream Factory does on these. They give you a slip cover and then give you a CD, the Blu-ray, and then you can pick your choice of what you want. So I love the Scream Factory. They just really put a lot of work in restoring horror movies and keeping the art of horror alive in this day and age. It's kind of a dying, dying genre, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It seems like anything that comes out nowadays is shit.
Yeah, they've been doing all these paranormal movies for a while, and before that, we had the Saws and the Hostels, the torture movies. So I don't know. I was kind of hoping that It being a big hit, the remake of It would have kind of pushed some stuff forward. But I think that damn COVID, put everything into a kind of a stop, unfortunately. But we'll see what starts coming out here in the next few years and see if we can get horror back going strong again. Besides the independent movies that come out.
Well, some of them are better than the big budget films, I think.
That's it. They're going strong with those independent movies and stuff you can find on Vudu or Prime.
Oh, and also we
ran out of drink.
We'll get you some more, man.
I'm good for the moment.
Also, we're planning on hopefully getting some guests on here too.
Yeah, that would be great.
Now that we can do this fucking Zoom thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the funny thing is we live like 3 blocks from each other, but it's just easier to do it in our own little studios here, I think.
Exactly. And plus, you don't have to sit in the fucking cigarette smoke and weed.
That's true. This guy smokes about 50 cigarettes a moment.
I'm trying to quit, though.
Yeah, he said that about 5 years ago, too.
I got this thing here.
Is that your pepper?
Yeah, that's my pepper thing. Pepper oil.
You're not ever going to quit off that thing. You're going to puff on that a while.
I'll be too fisted.
Puff on them both, I guess. Is that the Bubba mask I see over there?
Yeah, that's Bubba. Want me to put him on? Right.
Put the Bubba mask on.
This has been a long time since I've had him on.
You may see a cat named Dracula creeping around here, too. She haunts the museum as well. Oh, there we go. Yeah, look at that. Bubba. Did you wash your
bridges? I'd like to meet up with this guy in a fucking dark alley.
I don't know. Especially if you make your britches, you might have to soil them there or something.
I had people tell me it looked like Slipknot. I don't think it looks like fucking Slipknot. Do you?
No, they called me everything under the sun in my gear. I was called some little kid came by and said, "Hey, you're the kid from Star Wars." So Count Karabi said in his little accent, "Well, look at you. You're the kid from Star Trek." And the little kid looked like, "Oh," and his whole group started making fun of him, and he kind of bowed his head and walked away. So never insult Count Karabi because he will insult you back. Yeah, put your hat back on there.
Sit my fucking fat ass down. But yeah. This is what you're going to get.
Yep. You know, I have a little bit of experience in this world from going back to 1995, 1996. We video Bob Mosley. We did a show called Metal Review, which was about Metallica, and put it on public access cable, Salmon's Cable in Fort Worth, Texas. And we were getting we went to the hamburger place and the cooks came out there running, "Oh my God, it's Bob and Carl from the show." And we're like, "What the hell? Oh, I watch y'all all the time." Well, they repeated this show like once a month. It was on for a month. They repeated it like once or twice a day, every freaking day. So, yeah.
So on the cable access.
Cable access. He spread out from that to doing his show Underground Connection, which, you know, got a lot of accolades and a lot of guests, you know, a lot of national acts and stuff on there. But eventually Metal Review fell prey to the whole, there was an episode where the band Ritual Misery at their party house, somebody stuck a pickle up some dude's butt. And the cable access people not only kicked us off the air, they destroyed the master tape. We never got it back.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, got us kicked off the air, so eventually it didn't really affect the Underground Connection, but that was kind of the end of my whole TV career, although I did do a few episodes of the Video Bob show with him, and we later did some on the internet, and he's actually talking about bringing the Video Bob show back on the YouTube once he gets 1,000 subscribers, so you may see me on there from time to time.
Yeah, we're probably going to throw this shit up on YouTube, too, just for the fuck of it. See if we get anybody to watch our ugly mugs.
I currently have 0 subscribers on my YouTube channel, by the way. Of course, I've never promoted it, but who knows?
And we're going to be on probably every platform that you can think of to listen to.
Maybe not Facebook. Facebook could probably kick us off.
Yeah, we want to. I'm going to get a Facebook page, I think, build a Facebook page, but I don't do Instagram or Twitter or anything like that. So if anybody wants to run a Instagram or Twitter for us,
yeah,
get a hold of us.
I have a
evilneverdiespod.com or
evilneverdiespod@gmail.com.
email us if you want to.
Got
www.instagram or Twitter for us.
Yeah, I could care less about Twitter, but that's whoever. Everybody's on that other.
Everybody gets kicked off of it. You get kicked off if you say anything.
TikTok's the big thing now. If somebody wants to run a TikTok page, by all means, feel free.
Yeah,
Twitter, I don't give a shit. But I'll be building up at www.countkarabi.com here over the next few years, probably years. I don't expect much on there very, very soon. Then I have my www.carltodd.com, which hasn't been updated in about 5 years. So you can find me on Facebook. I'll take all friend requests unless you're one of those prostitutes or whatever they are.
Whores?
Yeah, they're sending friend requests.
I get everywhere. Friend requests from them whores all the time, man. And I
blocked
them
two tonight.
The thing is, I report them and Facebook don't do nothing with them.
They don't do nothing. No. No. Facebook just throw people in jail, though, for other stuff.
Yeah, from 4 fucking years ago.
Yeah. I keep my Facebook page pretty clean, and I don't put a lot on there. If I put anything like this devil down here, you'll find him on the Count Karabi's Facebook page.
Fucking love that, man. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. He's heavy as shit, too.
Looks like
very heavy.
All right, man. Well, you think that's about it?
That covers it.
Do you know who we are now?
I hope so.
All right, man.
I'm Carl. He's Brett. He's also Bubba. And I'm Count Karabi, I guess. And our other alter
ego. We are the Evil Never Dies podcast. So, everybody, stay evil, baby.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.